Daily Scramble Live with Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty. Today's guest,
quirky indie artist Ezra Furman in studio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty.
Yes, I love me some Ezra Furman, and it's very early, so let's get some coffee and begin with a little Daily Scramble Live.
Caroline's going to be here highlighting another great local nonprofit. Linda Halligan is back. She's going to count down the top five Kenny Loggins songs, because that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do today. And, yeah, cool. Great. Nice to see you, Jason. Oh, look, Miss Pickles is here.
Pickles is here, too.
On KX93.5, your daily scramble news now.
It's time for the news to be read, and it's time for it to be read by me.
Oh, great. That sounds exciting. As bad as each other. Are you feeling all right? What's wrong? You hungover?
Oh, my God.
Are you? Oh,
I think, yes. And last night was our little holiday get-together.
Mm. I was there, Ty.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I do. First, the local news this morning, courtesy of the Laguna Beach Independent Newsroom. As expected, Laguna Beach Mayor Bob Whalen on Tuesday surrendered the city council gavel to his colleague Steve Dictorow, who will serve as the town's honorary mayor for the next year. Councilmember Toni Eisman was elected to serve as mayor pro tem, putting her next in line for the job. Dictorow cited President John F. Kennedy and his wife Katrina, who is blind, as his sources of inspiration. He also vowed to follow the environmental movement's mantra to think globally but act locally in tackling the town's problems. The 60-year-old attorney served as a council member from 1994 to 2006 and was reelected again in 2012. He controlled the gavel three times previously as mayor. Over that two-decade span, he points to several notable accomplishments representative of what can be done when people on the council work together to find solutions. I like old Dickie.
Yeah, love him. He was at our Music in Common thing on Sunday night. He made a nice speech to the kids who wrote, the kids from Jewish, Muslim, and Christian backgrounds.
Yeah, he made a really awesome speech, actually, and Monica and I complimented him after on what a good speaker he was. He said, you know what? I never even plan it. I just go up their stream of consciousness, and he killed it. So.
Yeah. Excellent bit of schmoozing there from Steve. He was really good. He was really nice to the kids and et cetera. So good luck, Steve, because, you know, his good luck will mean our good luck.
Well said. Looking outside of Laguna this morning, Donald Trump's anti-Muslim rhetoric undermines U.S. national security by boosting the Islamic State or the ISIS group, the Pentagon has warned. The leading Republican presidential candidate has said Muslims should be banned from entering the U.S. until, quote, our country's representatives can figure out what's going on. Mr. Trump announced his plan days after the recent attacks in San Bernardino raised fears about homegrown terrorism. But responding to Trump's remarks, the U.S. Pentagon said a border closed to Muslims would harm American efforts to counter extremist ideology. Pentagon Press Secretary Peter Cook said such talk bolsters ISIL's narrative. Anything that pits the United States against Muslim faith is certainly not only contrary to our values, but contrary to national security, he said. There's been global outcry since Trump made these remarks, and attempting to explain his comments, Trump said parts of London were so radicalized that people are afraid for their lives. But London Mayor Boris Johnson said that was ridiculous and added the only reason I wouldn't go to some parts of New York is the real risk of meeting Donald Trump.
Good old Boris Johnson. He's a funny lad.
I wish our president was as funny as that guy.
Well, he's a classic sort of upper-class British wit.
Yeah, that's funny.
Boris Johnson.
In related news, California rock band Eagles of Death Metal have performed in Paris less than a month after the deadly attacks during their performance in the French capital. The band took to the stage to play at the end of a U2 concert at the Accor Hotels Arena. They were robbed of their stage 3 weeks ago, and we would like to offer them ours. That's what Bono said. 90 of the 130 people who died in the 13 of November attacks were killed at the concert at the Bataclan venue. Bono embraced Eagles of Death metal singer Jesse Hughes ahead of emotional joint rendition of Patti Smith's People Have the Power. They then performed their song that's climbing the charts, I Love You All the Time. Finally this morning, would you like some zombie news?
Yeah, always.
An Ohio couple is defying orders to remove a zombie-themed nativity scene from their front garden. For a second year in a row, this couple, Jason and Amanda Dixon, constructed the scene, which features a spoof version of Silent Night, including a demonic baby Jesus and undead wise men. The local council have said the display violates zoning laws, and local religious groups have denounced it. The couple claims that they were denied a zoning permit for their structure and, according to the New York Times, could face a fine of $500 per day. The Cincinnati couple is seeking donations to keep the display alive.
And that, Tyler, is why I love America.
Can't do that everywhere.
Nope. You try doing that in Iraq.
Hell, they really can't do it either. They're still doing it. And that's America.
Yep. It's a great
this
story.
This picture that is attached to the story is of zombie Jesus, who really is just doesn't look anything like Jesus, just a zombie, the baby zombie.
There must be a movie. There must be a movie where Jesus, normal guy, whatever, gets nailed to the cross and then rises as a zombie. It's the most obvious.
I'm certain that exists. That has to
must
exist.
Be. The Garden of Gethsemane and the cave, and Mary Magdalene comes in the morning and the stone rolls back and out comes zombie Jesus and bites her in the face.
Please forgive Jason for his pagan remarks.
I'm pitching this to you.
No, but I love it. It says here we're going to play a 133 Christmas song. Is that true? Does one exist?
Where does it say that?
It says right here on the screen that the next song coming up is Ho Ho Ho, It's Christmas by 133.
It's by Beth Fitchett Wood, actually.
Oh, so it's not by all of you.
No, it's not by all of us, but she taught it to us the other day, and we all sang the chorus, which goes, ho, 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 it's Christmas. And then, but it became very quickly like a sea shanty.
Uh-huh.
And by chorus number three, we were all singing, yo, ho, ho, it's Christmas.
All right, well, then it's Beth Fitchett Wood of Honk and other projects doing Ho, 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 It's Christmas on KX93.5. That's your news this morning.
Ho, 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 it's Christmas. Daily Scramble Live. Daily Scramble. Daily Scramble Live.
That's mellow. Does that reflect your mood?
It's my mood, and it's the next story's mood as well. Scott Weiland died a couple weeks ago, last week actually. And his mother just wrote kind of an essay in Rolling Stone. Have you seen this yet?
And no.
It's entitled, Don't Glorify This Tragedy, right? Because everybody around the world is mourning Scott Weiland's death of Stone Temple Pilots. What a contributor to music, contributor to grunge. You know, such an influencer on things we have today. He will be missed, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Now, the mother says, while all of that is nice and thank you and we're comforted, we lost our father, my husband, years ago to drugs and alcohol. Huh. It says in the first sentence, December 3rd is not the day Scott Weiland died. It's the official day the public will use to mourn him. And it was the last day he could be propped up in front of a microphone for the financial benefit or enjoyment of others. What we truly lost on December 3rd was hope.
Wow. Good for her.
I think so, too. Wow. And she goes on to say, we don't want to downplay Scott's amazing talent, presence, or his ability to light up the stage. So many people have been gracious enough to praise his gift, but at some point, someone needs to step up and say, yes, this will happen again, because as a society, we almost encourage it. We read awful show reviews, watch videos of artists falling down, unable to recall their lyrics, and we just click add to cart because of what actually belongs in a hospital is now considered art.
Wow.
So this is coming from the wife of a man who was deeply troubled and suffered from these problems his whole life and probably had to deal with it firsthand. You know, the fans, they see that, but obviously aren't touched in a personal way like the wife is.
Yep, that's right.
So she says, skip the depressing T-shirt with 1967 to 2015 on it. Use that money to take your kid to a ball game or out for ice cream instead.
Right, so she's saying that Scott Weiland's father was an alcoholic, which resulted in bad parenting and him not being around, which resulted in Scott having issues, which he masked with the drugs and alcohol, and then became addicted and had problems. And finally, it killed him too. So on some level, it's passed down.
Yeah.
This disease of addiction.
Well, it's important to talk about as far as the music industry is concerned, because she's totally right. It is glorified. It's almost expected of you. And you can speak more to this as a rock band, a touring rock band, that's part of the job.
Well, you know, it's not entirely the fault of the agents, managers and press or whatever. You know, you put yourself out there to do this thing and you want to do it for whatever reason. For your own personal glorification, or at best to be an artist, you know, and share something with the world. But then the people around you have an investment in you, and if you start to do hard drugs or it becomes a problem for you, there's not much there. As long as you're standing up and singing in front of a microphone, I mean, anybody will tell you. Anybody who knows anything about addiction or addicts, or who's got an addict or an alcoholic in the family, that at the end of the day, there's very little you can, there's nothing you can do.
It's on the person.
Yeah, and you know, that's the really destructive and sad and impossible part of this, is that all the cuddles and hugs and positive reinforcement you do with the addict or the alcoholic will have very little effect at the end of the day. And they've really got to hit bottom, you know, and that's a horrible thing to watch, especially in somebody that you love. Very difficult to say to parents, oh, kick him out. Because he's doing heroin or whatever. You know, it's a really horrific spiral that people go through, and I've watched it many times. So, and I'm almost to the point now where I can see where this is, you know, I know what the people have got ahead of them. People come to me and say, oh, my son's doing heroin. And I think, wow, you know, it's likely, I don't say this, but it's likely you've got years of pain ahead of you with this. Not always the case. Some people go to rehab and then they put the plug in the jug, as they say, and that's it.
But having been somebody that did it and witnessed it and was around it in England for
you.
Yeah,
well, I was that guy. I was the guy.
You were the guy. What would you say to somebody who's starting down it? I mean, is there absolutely nothing you can say? Or somebody who's coming into the music world and feels compelled to act that way or behave that way?
What would I say to that person?
Yeah.
You're a self-centered little SH you-know-what. Get a job and be nice to your mother. That's what I'd really say. That's okay. What I'd want to say.
Yeah.
You're a self-centered douchebag and you need to get your crap together.
I think that's exactly...
And stop blaming your feelings on your childhood.
Right. That's exactly what this story says. This story from Scott Weiland's... rather, it's his mother, not his wife. I apologize. Scott Weiland's mother that said this, that wrote this, saying everybody was praising the guy. Saying, and he can never realize that he's a self-centered little you-know-what.
Yeah.
Because all he's getting is praise and positive reinforcement for his behavior.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is another side to this, which is what I always think of Kurt Cobain. And I've known many addicts like this. Kurt Cobain, you know, geeky little kid in school, from a broken home, felt maligned, felt different. You know, had his feelings on his face like the alien in that movie, Alien, you know, couldn't see past his own feelings and his own thoughts. I mean, the guy's a genius. I'm not, you know, clearly a brilliantly talented guy, but not the point here, not when in this discussion. We're not talking about his music. So he grows up and he gets a guitar and he's going to show the world, you know, show those jocks at school how brilliant he is. And he does it, and he's the one guy that, I mean, there's millions of people think that, but he becomes that guy, the biggest rock star in the world. And it's not enough. Mm. And when that's not enough, when your internal pain, heartache, and self-centered fear stands out in stark relief against an opulent background. There's not much you can do but put a gun in your mouth, and that's what he did. So, drugs ain't the answer, kids.
That's the bottom line.
Whatever the question is, I mean, it's up to parents and the village that raises kids to try and provide a safe and nurturing place for people to grow up in.
But when you become a musician, a famous one, it's a little bit up to the fans too. I mean, you can influence an artist's behavior as a group of people, I would say.
You think so?
Yeah, if you support a guy like this mother wrote, who's falling down on stage and is raising a glass to the audience and is clearly like that every single night.
Yeah, but there's an element of the rock star being two-dimensional. We're not thinking about, oh, my God, that poor guy, or what right. about his wife, or, you know, has he seen his kids today? Or?
Well, Scott Weiland's mother wants us to.
Yeah, well, now we are, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know.
So hopefully this sort of thing will make us. I don't know how it changes, but it's an important article. It's, you know, in the front of Rolling Stone this week, rollingstone.com. You can read it, and it's all over the place right now. So
it's a brilliant and courageous thing for a woman to... I mean, I'm sure it's the forefront of her mind to just say it, but it comes across as brilliant and courageous in the face of what's really a horrific thing to lose a child
right.
at whatever age. So.
Right. Well, let's play a STP song. Scott Weiland, again, passed away last week before a show.
Let's raise a glass to Scott Weiland. Oh, no, perhaps not.
Wait, no, that's not the opposite. Quick correction on the last story when we were talking about Scott Weiland. That letter was from his ex-wife, the mother of his children, not the mother of him. So forgive me for that misstep. This is Daily Scramble Live. I'm Tyler Russell. That's Jason Fetty.
Yo.
And later on, we're very, very excited to have Ezra Furman live in studio.
I know.
What an odd duck.
He's amazing. He's amazing to me.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's got cojones, too. He's a courageous geezer.
Yeah, seriously. He commonly wears dresses or pearl necklaces or multicolored hairdos or whatever. He describes himself as gender fluid.
That's right. I thought it was gender liquid, but that's a different thing, probably, isn't it?
I don't know what it means.
have a glass of gender liquid for breakfast.
He's honestly a really cool guy and makes some fun music that is not like what you're hearing these days.
No, it's great music. Yeah. He's a real student of songwriting and very clever wordsmith and very passionate performer. And that's it, I think.
That is about it. Yeah. I think you covered it, Jason Fetty. We're used to going on and on, but at some point you do have to quit it. Linda Halligan will be here later as well. She's going to count down the top five Kenny Loggins songs because Kenny Loggins is playing in Laguna in like 4 days. So you can get your tickets still online at kx935.com. Can we do the sorbet, sir?
Yes, we can. Yes, why not?
Hit the knob. Here's the sorbet of the day.
Hit the switches. Okay, I found this great, let me just say first and foremost, of course, that if you, like me, wake up flustered and obsessing, here's a quick cerebral sorbet. It's a cleanser for your mental palate. It's a brain peel, if you will. I found this woman, and she's an American hero to me, and I didn't realize. Have you heard of this woman, Alice Lee Roosevelt Longworth?
Alice Lee Roosevelt Longworth.
Yeah.
Nope.
She's an American writer and prominent socialite who was the oldest child of President Teddy Roosevelt.
Okay.
So she lived in the early 20th, or late 19th, early 20th century. And she's very witty. For example, she says this, "If you haven't got anything nice to say anybody, come sit next to me."
That was the sorbet of the day.
I think you'd get along swimmingly with that
she's
woman.
Great.
Is she still alive?
On President Calvin Coolidge, she died in the late 70s. On President Calvin Coolidge, she said, "He looks like he's been weaned on a pickle."
Turn your love way up.
Enjoy your toast and jams on Daily Scramble Live.
Yes, do.
Why not? Enjoy whatever you're having. What do you think people are having for breakfast this morning?
I'm eating a granola bar.
Do you know what I'd really like? I'd really like poached eggs on toast right now.
So Eggs Benedict?
No, it's a bit heavy for this time of the hollandaise and everything. But just the poached egg, maybe a sprig of parsley on the side. But poached eggs on really good, not too thickly cut, wheat, nutty bread, you know. Just a little small piece of bread. Yeah. That's what I'd like for breakfast, if anybody's listening.
I'm happy to hear that. And I'm sure people are thrilled and enthralled.
Yeah.
Last night we had a white elephant party.
We did.
What did you end up with?
I ended up with shot glasses, which I gave to your friend Brandon.
Yeah, well.
I kept, there were like 12 or 13 of us, more maybe.
Right.
15 of us. And the gifts kept going around. And I kept getting like chocolate and alcohol related gifts, which as everybody knows, I'm afraid, are no longer legal for me. I'm no longer able to eat the candy.
Either of those
or
things.
Drink the alcohol.
Right.
So it was a bit disappointing, really. There was one great gift that Tyler and I both coveted throughout the evening. The Ninja Gnome was just fantastic gift.
But guess what? I made a little trade ski for the Ninja Gnome.
No.
I've got the Ninja
Gnome.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
You better bring it in because I think we should share in this.
Monica's husband won the Ninja Gnome.
And he didn't want it?
Well, he did want it, but he's a gracious, gracious man.
He's an idiot.
And he traded he traded the Ninja Gnome for some sparklers.
Really?
That I obtained.
Yeah, you know? I brought the sparklers.
You brought the sparklers.
I bought them in Nevada one year, years ago. I hope they're all right.
Probably not. I actually ended up with the present that I brought because I really kind of wanted it. It was a little card game called Exploding Kittens, and I stole it from one of our interns.
Yeah.
Ended up with it. You know how it is.
How does the game work? Do you have to bring your own kittens?
Yeah, and then you put them in the microwave.
Great.
Anyway, it's great fun.
Yep.
It's fun.
Poached eggs, then, on wheat toast.
Getting back to the subject.
If you don't mind.
Nice, Caroline
good
Bruder.
Quality eggs, not too small in size. Nice big yolks.
Good. Are you done?
Yeah. I don't like duck eggs, though, do you?
Quail eggs?
Too small.
Caroline Bruder is going to be in studio doing Caroline's Cause Corner coming up. Linda Halligan will also count down the top five. She's back in studio this week, and we're looking at Kenny Loggins' music. Of course, the show with Loggins is this Sunday. Here's more details.
Montage and KX93.5 present Winter Concert Classic with Kenny Loggins. Bring the whole family to Irvine Bowl, Pageant of the Masters on December 13th to hear Kenny's hits and also holiday favorites from pop harmonizing group The Shadow Boxers. And local favorite David Allen Baker. The kids will love our winter wonderland in the Festival of Arts grounds with falling snow and a visit from old St. Nick himself. Enjoy complimentary hot chocolate and holiday treats with adult libations available for purchase. Proceeds will benefit KX93.5, Boys and Girls Club of Laguna Beach, and School Power, Laguna Beach Educational Foundation. Don't miss Kenny Loggins at Laguna's most beautiful concert venue, Irvine Bowl, Sunday, December 13th at 6 p.m. Tickets at KX93.5.com. Supporting local Laguna Beach nonprofits, welcome to Caroline's Cause Corner.
KX93.5.
Yeah, in a segment we call Caroline's Cause Corner, Caroline Bruder comes in once a week and introduces us to people from local nonprofits, charitable organizations. She's here this morning. Good morning, Caroline.
Hi, Jason. Thanks for sitting in on my show today.
Yeah.
I want to introduce Beth Phillips with Furnishing Hope. I've known Beth for many years, and she has one of the most incredible organizations that I want you all to hear about. Welcome, Beth.
Thank you. Thank you, Caroline.
So it's been a couple of years since we've actually had a chance to sit down.
Yes.
Will you go ahead and fill in the listeners near and far about what Furnishing Hope does?
Furnishing Hope is a 501c3 corporation. We're a nonprofit, and we started out serving families in crisis in Orange County. And then in 2010... I was doing a project in San Juan Capistrano where I saw the terrible circumstances the military were facing when they came home. And at that point, in 2010, our organization turned towards them, and we furnish now the homes for wounded, ill, and injured of the military.
With the program of Wounded Warriors.
Yes, Wounded Warriors, yes, they have to be qualified.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you're literally furnishing the homes of people that come back from foreign wars or that are involved in the military now who
yes.
perhaps don't have the wherewithal or the means to do it themselves. And it seems like such a simple thing. It almost seems like on the hierarchy of needs, it would be, at first thought, I thought, well, that's kind of a luxury thing. Surely there are more important things to deal with. But really, it's really crucial if you think about your own home.
It is. It is. And these people that we serve, they are young. They're 20 to 30. They went right from high school into the military.
Yeah.
They got out. They don't have a clue as to how to set up a home.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right. Not the means either. Not just
not financial or mental.
I mean, we've
or
all, at 20 years
physical.
Old, I furnished some places in a pretty revolting way. My design...
Aesthetic.
my values, let's say, were not very high on the scale. But if you think about it, we are nest building animals. Very important where you wake up in the morning, how you come home at night, and to what environment. And if you've got kids, of course, you don't want your kids sleeping on the floor or not
right.
having somewhere to put their underwear. I mean, this is really
exactly.
crucial stuff.
It is. It's basic.
Yeah.
It's basic home furnishings.
So, tell us about your warehouse and how people can donate. Like, what do you need? What are you selling to support Furnishing Hope?
Okay.
Like, how's that work?
Our whole model has changed in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
We are seeking new items, and we feel that our warriors are, they deserve the very best they've given. So we're seeking new items. We do a total kitchen setup with everything to cook, serve, and eat a meal. And we do all the bedding, the linens, and Living Spaces has been very generous in helping with the furniture.
Well, aren't they nice? That's
mm-hmm.
nice.
Yes.
Great company.
Yeah. I mean, it's the least we can do. People have been in foreign wars, put their lives on the line for what, you know, for our American values. And then the least we can do is provide them with an armchair
right.
when they get back, you know.
Right, right. I can tell you a story about one of our recipients, if you like.
Sure.
Please.
That was, Courtney said to me, she was flown to Bethesda, and she said to me, if it had been 1 week later, I wouldn't have been able to fly. But I met my husband there. He was flown in from Afghanistan. I had my second child on the third floor, and he was operated on the second floor. And if you just step back a moment and think, this is a young 20-year-old. She has a 2-year-old, and now a week-old baby,
mm-hmm.
and she just found out that her husband is a triple amputee, lost both his legs and half of his left hand. It's critical what these families are going through.
Right.
So they were flown to San Diego, which is a major amputee center, and we furnished their home as soon as they got there so that Courtney and the boys could be comfortable while John was still in the hospital.
And do you think about stuff, obviously, if somebody who's an amputee, got to think about how they're going to get them downstairs if they need to. All of that needs to be thought
right,
about.
Exactly.
Do you have a big team of people that are qualified in those ways?
We don't really get into the care of the amputee or right. the service member. We are just there. We go in, and in 3 hours, we'll totally furnish a home.
Right.
And out the door, and it's theirs.
So you do have designers?
Yes.
Painters and decorators?
Yes.
Do that? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
all of that?
Yes.
Wow, fantastic.
And they volunteer their time?
They volunteer their time, mm-hmm. and most of the work is done in our warehouse ahead of time so that things are selected. So when we go into the home, it's just boom, boom, boom.
It must be psychologically really great for these people. I mean, I know how I feel when I've got we just bought a new fridge. We spent the night in front of the fridge, my wife and I, the night, and it's really, I know it sounds materialistic, you could say, but I'm telling you, it's very simple nest building
yes.
stuff, and it's depressing to come home to a depressing place where, you know, with a fridge that doesn't
work.
Or no
work. Home.
Or, well,
right.
Or yeah.
no,
you
know.
But you're not providing the homes, are you?
No, we're not
the
providing
home.
The homes, we're yeah. just the home furnishings.
Yeah,
yes.
Fantastic, though, brilliant. Brilliant stuff, yeah.
So how can people get in touch and donate to Furnishing Hope?
You can visit our website, www.furnishinghope.org, and there's a volunteer form on there. If you're skilled at some painting, upholstery, please fill that out, get to know us, and you always have our address and drop things off or point us in a direction that there might be donations, that'd be great.
That's a fantastic way for people to do pro bono, give back to the community. Like, you know, contractors are not the richest men in the on the planet, but they can give half a day
skills
to doing a bit of something skilled, bring the tools, do that kind of thing. It's a brilliant way to give back, actually. Hear about lawyers and people like that doing pro bono work. But, you know, plumbers could do it too, couldn't they?
Right, and we're looking for an electrician right now.
Wow.
So if there's anyone out there, please call me.
All right, give the website again, please.
www.furnishinghope.org.
Excellent. Well, Beth Phillips, thanks very much for sharing that information with our listeners. And if you become a member of KX93.5 this week during the airing of this podcast, a portion of your membership can go to Furnishing Hope. And so thanks again. And I want to remind everybody to like the Caroline's Cause Corner Facebook page. Let me know if there's any other charities, organizations, nonprofits, social causes that you think I should be interviewing. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, this is Caroline Bruder for Caroline's Cause Corner. Make it a giving day.
This was Caroline's Cause Corner. Enter your business at kx935.com/causecorner. Back to generational alt-rock. KX935, Laguna's only FM.
Kenny Loggins there, and this is it on KX93.5. Kenny Loggins, of course, coming to town on Sunday for our Winter Concert Classic. And appropriately enough, Linda Halligan is here. Let me play the thing, Linda, and then we'll say why that's appropriate and everything will be made clear. Okay, here we go.
Your weekly countdown, the top five on KX93.5.
Yes, your top five on KX93.5. Linda's back. Where have you been, Linda?
Where have I been? I was hosting a show in Florida, in Southwest Florida, called The Morning Blend.
Cool.
And I'm back.
The Morning Blend.
Yes. It was TV, not radio.
Yeah, it's not as cool as Daily Scramble Live, though, is it? Come on.
But I'm back.
And I'm glad
to be
you're
home.
Here.
Back
nice
to Laguna.
To see you. So, Kenny Loggins.
You know, I don't know if you have ESP or if you're a genius, maybe a little of both.
No, I made a mistake.
Or you made a mistake. There it is.
I made a mistake.
You're playing This Is It, and I'm thinking, we're doing top five Kenny Loggins.
I know, it was a mistake.
Will that make the top five?
Strangely, it was already in the system,
ready
to play. It was queued up, yeah. And then you came in, and it gave me the list, and Tyler put his head around the door and went, you're already playing This Is It. Oh, okay. Never mind. These are the top five Kenny Loggins songs.
That's right.
When you say top five, most popular, is that how that works? Or
this is my top five.
Your
favorite,
top
based,
five.
But not entirely my top five. It's also based on a lot of research. It's based on awards. It's based on which were the most popular when they first came out, where they scored on the Billboard charts.
Okay.
So I put a lot of time and energy into this. So hopefully, some people may disagree, as it always happens with these lists. But
you know,
I think this is a pretty decent list.
If you disagree, just please send your complaint. Write it on the back of a $50 bill.
Yeah, and send it to Tyler.
No, send it to me.
Send it to you? Okay. Well, you know, I got to say, I mean, Kenny Loggins is kind of my jam. I grew up during that era, right? And when I thought about doing this list, I thought, oh, that'll be easy. He did all these great movie soundtracks. But then I started going through and I went, oh my gosh, I forgot that was Kenny Loggins. That was Kenny Loggins too.
You know, it's
so it made
always
it a little
the
tougher.
Way with these people. I went to see, not Journey. Who did The Eye of the Tiger?
Eye of the Tiger, Thrill of the Fight?
Yeah. Survivor.
Gosh, Survivor, yes.
I went
Survivor.
To see them. Every song was it. I thought, I'm never going to know any of these songs. Every song was a hit.
Right.
Every song was a win. Oh, that one. Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Amazing. So Kenny's like that too.
Yeah, he's awesome. So let's get into number five. I mean, you already kind of kicked it off, didn't you? With
yeah, This Is It.
I don't think you really need to play because you just played the whole song.
No.
So this one was number 11 on the Billboard charts, came out in 1979, and there's some interesting information about this song that I didn't know. Kenny Loggins and Michael McDonald, of course, from the Doobie Brothers, they wrote the song because Kenny Loggins' father was sick and he had to choose between life and death, and that's what the song was written about. And it ended up winning Kenny Loggins the Grammy for Best Male Pop Vocal Performance.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
I am playing it as a bed track.
Okay.
But we can move on and go to the next one.
You want to move on? You know, I can't hear it very well. Can you turn it up?
Look, see your cord
pump
there.
Up the
it's connected
volume.
To a little amplifier.
Over here.
There you go. Turn it up there.
There it is,
there you
people.
Go.
All right. And you know what? He was nominated for 10 Grammys. 10.
Good grief.
It's pretty good. Okay, number four.
It's amazing to me.
We were talking movie
Grammys.
Soundtracks. You want to play it?
Sure.
Go for it.
Hang on a minute. I have to stop that and I have to start this. All right. So this is number, what is it?
Number four, Danger Zone from the Tom Cruise classic Top Gun. This was from 1986. You probably remember the scene where they're playing volleyball, and it's a pretty cool part of the movie. The whole movie is pretty cool, if you ask me.
We had Terry Nunn in here recently from Berlin, who was the
theme I've seen them in concert. Yeah. Very cool.
Very cool. Yeah. When did that movie come out?
1986. Yeah. And it reached number 2 on the Billboard charts. Pretty good. This one's catchy. It's not one of my favorite Kenny Loggins songs, but it was a huge hit.
It's very 80s. Musicians will tell you that drum sound is like, it sounds like guns going off.
Right.
Doesn't sound like a drum at all.
Exactly. Well, and you know I love the 80s and you know I love movies. So we combine 80s movies and the happy camper.
Very cool.
All right, number 3. This is one song I went, oh my gosh, I forgot it was Kenny Loggins. It's such a great song. It almost was higher up on the list for me. Whenever I Call You Friend, the duet with Stevie Nicks. Let's play a little bit of that.
All right. Well, that's a little more complicated here. Look, let me go over here to this computer.
All right.
Here it is. Let's see if this works. It's so Beach Boys-y, isn't it?
I was just thinking that exact thing.
I love the do do do
do do. Very Beach Boys. Well, this was kind of earlier on in his career. He was big in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. I mean, he went forever. So this was 1978. Huh. And this song, it starts out all slow, but then it picks up, and then it gets fast, and it's a great song. And when you mix in Stevie Nicks, you really can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, big billowy sleeves she had.
Yes, she does have big billowy sleeves. Well, this was number 5 on the Billboard chart, so big hit for Kenny Loggins and Stevie Nicks. Yeah, I love it. All right, number 2, I'm going to kick this one off by saying 2 words. Dancing Gopher. Play that song. I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a
fight? Can't you just let it be? I'm all right. This is a great song.
It is.
This is a really great sort of country line dancey sort of vibe. Yeah. I really like it. Do you know that Kenny Loggins... long-time musical director lives in town. His name is Steve Wood, and he's in the 133 band. He's the keyboard player.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're together a long time, all the way through that whole Footloose period, the whole thing. And there's a chance, I'm not promising, that Steve Wood will get up with Kenny and do a song with him on Sunday at the Pageant of the Masters, you know, the Irvine Bowl.
That would be cool. 133, they opened for the Beach Boys, didn't they? A little bit ago in Laguna?
Yes, we did.
Yes. Yes, you did. I saw you guys.
Yeah.
I was there. Rocking out to the Beach Boys. So I'm All Right. This is a theme from Caddyshack, one of the best comedies, I would say, of all time. I don't think many people would disagree with that. I could be biased because I love the movie, but it's also such a catchy song, and it's so uplifting. And when you picture that dancing gopher, it's hilarious.
I know. Bill Murray's so great as well.
Oh, he's amazing.
You ever seen A Man in the Shower? That's the great line from it. Come on.
Awesome. 1980, number 7 on the Billboard charts.
Very good. All right. So, now we're down to number 1 here.
Number 1, I'm completely biased, but I have research to back up my choice. Are you ready? I'm going to start it off like this, Jason.
Go on.
I thought this was a party. Let's dance! Yeah.
I always think he's going to go, I'm going to tell you how it's going to be. It's got that Buddy Holly sort of twangy vibe to it.
Yep, yep. Kevin Bacon, Footloose.
But again, the drums sound like guns are going off to me.
Right. Well, 1984. I mean, so many of these are 1980s, you know, classic movies. But this was the prom scene at the end of the movie. And that's still, that dance scene, I would say, is one of the best dance scenes in movie history. Yes, I'm saying that. Top 10 maybe. All right. So, you know what? This song was nominated for an Oscar. For best original song, it lost. Any guesses? 1984. Any guesses to what it lost to? This is tough.
1984.
I could give you a hint.
Go on.
Stevie Wonder.
Okay.
Anything?
Best. What was it? Best original song? You're saying?
Yes.
Is it the one where he's on the phone? I just called to say I love you.
It is from The Woman in Red.
Yeah. There you go.
Very good. Yeah. So that's the one that won that year. But these are both great songs. Now, this movie premiere I went to as a kid in Westwood. And I remember my friend and I, we were young, you know, we see Kevin Bacon, we see the cast, it's awesome. But you've got glitter, people rocking out in these really groovy tuxedos. That's the movie. The song is great. It's catchy. They have a musical version, you know, a stage version that plays all over the place. They did a remake of the movie not too long ago. So this is my choice for number 1. If you disagree, just listen to the song, watch the movie, and reminisce.
Should we say goodbye and just play the song out, let it play out?
Well, we could, but then I can't mention the two
movies.
You've
got other things to do.
The two
all
big
right.
movies opening.
Oh, that's right.
On
I'm
Friday.
Sorry. Usually
just
Tyler
play it
does
out,
this.
And I'll do this quickly.
All right, go on then.
All right. Two big movies opening this weekend, one going nationwide in the heart of the sea. Two people you really need to know involved in this, Chris Hemsworth, hello, and Ron Howard. Directing.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Pretty good. And it's basically Moby Dick, but it's the aftermath, what happens. I mean, they try to survive out there on this ship and everything. So that looks really cool. And then another one going limited. I've heard amazing things about this. Great cast. The Big Short, rated R. The first one I was talking about is PG-13. The Big Short is R. Christian Bale, Ryan Gosling, Steve Carell, Brad Pitt. I have a friend who saw it. She's a critic, a movie critic, and she thinks that Steve Carell will get nominated for another Oscar. It's got some great women in it, too. Marissa Tomei, Melissa Leo, Margot Robbie. And it's based on a true story about four guys who predicted the housing bubble collapse back in the 2000s. And then they take on the big bank. Supposed to be amazing.
Yes, I've seen trailers for this. It looks like it's going to be really cool.
Looks really good.
Should Linda Halligan,
the year.
Yes. You're the greatest.
Jason Fetty, thank you. It's great to be back.
Yeah, you're good at this.
Thank you.
We could learn a lot from you.
All right, KX93.5 is very happy to welcome to the show now Ezra Furman and all of the boyfriends also in studio about to play live. Hi, everybody.
Yay. Hello, finally. You know, it takes like 2.5 hours to set up to do two songs. We're very grateful to you for coming all this way and doing this. I know it's at the end of your tour. You're probably knackered, as we say in Britain. Probably heard that term. So thanks a lot, man. It's really great.
So we're going to hear two songs in a row from Perpetual Motion People, the new album from Ezra. Then we'll come back and chat more. Again, there's a show tonight at the Echo in Los Angeles. Ezra Furman, whenever you guys are ready.
My personality cut up into pieces. Modern society's my one secret weakness. I'm out of money and I'm out of my mind. We can't fit in, so we just head for the fringes. Your universe of blue lipstick and syringes. Your bedroom doorway with the bugs and the hinges. Something's about you that I don't understand.
I want to
Yeah, man. Headphones all over the place, things flying around the studio. Thanks, man. So great.
Awesome. Ezra Furman is in studio. We're going to hear another song from him and the Boyfriends again tonight at the Echo in L.A. is the last stop on a tour. We'll talk more about that show and learn more about Ezra coming up in a little bit. The new record's called Perpetual Motion People that we're hearing songs from, and you can grab it now. Ezra Furman, stick around. We'll learn a little more about the band coming up.
Daily Scramble, Daily Scramble Live. Daily Scramble, Daily Scramble Live.
All right, we're back in studio now with Ezra Furman. Just performed a couple songs for us live. And man, was that awesome. Thank you. That was really cool.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Glad to be here, sir. My pleasure.
Thank you for your politeness.
I'm glad you're calling us, sir. I have actually been knighted by the Queen of Vietnam. So. But it is nice to see you. I'm delighted. I love you, Ezra Furman. I adore you.
Thank you.
Seriously.
Well, you look like a knight. When somebody compliments me,
right,
I see them as royally
godlike. You're nice, you're quirky, you're a brilliant singer, songwriter, musician. You're Jewish, you're wearing a dress. I love you.
There's even more.
I adore everything about you. It's fabulous to me.
My biped.
Yeah. You've got all the arms and legs a man could ever need.
Mm-hmm.
You look great. How's it been? You're nearly finished touring now.
Yeah. Tonight's the last night. It's been a long trip, you know. I've gotten very tired, but then you just, at some point, you start to reset every day. And, you know, people are like, where were you last night? And you're like, let me just look at a schedule before I answer.
Right,
that.
Check the back of the T-shirt.
Yeah. Just.
Are you guys in a van or a bus, or how are you traveling?
A van, always in a van.
How's van life as with all the boyfriends?
Oh, it's you know, it's a place to call your home. It's cramped. you get to have good, weird conversations. Out of being stuck with the same people and on a long journey brings out odd moods and odd topics. We all were taking "Are you a psychopath?" tests online, so we all took the psychopath test.
Was anybody?
I think we all were. Like, and that made sense to me. We're in showbiz. We're all psychopaths.
We're all a bit nutty, yeah. Have you read that book by John Ronson about psychopaths? But it's the guy that wrote Men Who Stare at Goats. He's got this whole book about psychopaths. And there's a test in the back of that book. And I was obsessed with that for months. Like, I was convinced I was a psychopath.
Well, I don't read because I don't care about other people's thoughts or feelings. So.
I think I saw you reading something in Hebrew, actually.
Yeah, that's...
Were you?
Genesis. It's a...
Oh, I've never heard of that.
It's a popular book.
Is that new, or...
Are you reading it in
Hebrew? It's a bestseller.
You're reading it in the original Hebrew?
Yeah, I read it in Hebrew. I still have the copy from that I had in middle school, so it doesn't have the translation because you can't cheat when you're in fifth grade.
Ta devrit, tat.
Tat un poquito ivrit. Yes, I do speak a little Hebrew.
All right, just testing.
If he can read Genesis in Hebrew, doesn't he speak some Hebrew?
Hey, I can speak Hebrew, and I cannot read Genesis in Hebrew.
Well, you two make a good team then.
Yeah, I gotta keep in practice, but it's hard to keep in practice. I mean, if you not that many people speak Hebrew, it turns out.
Yeah, no, that you can't really like order food in Hebrew like you could in Spanish around here.
Not around here, but in Israel, very useful.
Yeah,
you want a falafel, you got to be able to say, you know, give us a falafel.
How do you say give us a falafel?
Denli falafel.
Denli falafel. Oh, so are you Israeli?
No, I'm British. You know, it's such a useless language to know, Hebrew. There's nobody around. The Israelis don't want to speak to you in Hebrew. You know, they're not interested. So it's like learning. It's like knowing Welsh or some dying language. It's useless.
I don't know about that.
Round here it is. If you should have Spanish, that's what you need round here.
Well, he knows he speaks Spanish. I just heard him speak Spanish.
Yeah, that's... I'm going to let you believe I'm fluent in Spanish.
Look, you've already gotten the gist that we think you can do no wrong, so... You're obviously proficient in a lot of things to us. Sure. Ezra Furman's in studio. The new album, Perpetual Motion People, is out again tonight. Actually, tonight at the Echo in Los Angeles. You can catch the last leg of the tour. We play the song Potholes. We play Restless Year. We've played a few songs from the record. I love that. I was talking to the guy who kind of does the shoo-wop, bop-dee-dop part of it. You know, I yes. might have guessed that was pre-recorded or something, but it's actually a very important part of your band that the group...
Well, yeah,
together.
No, there's two of them, the bass singers. I got a little bit obsessed with doo-wop and the bass singers who just kind of are these cartoonish sounding creatures who speak nonsense syllables. It's wonderful, you know. I write so much sort of self-conscious stuff all about myself, and then you just need to retreat into total absurd meaninglessness sometimes. I think that's the power in the doo-wop.
So you like that juxtaposition of really serious, meaningful themes to kind of absurdist music?
Yeah, absurdist. Or just like fun, and you know, we can't forget that this is supposed to be fun, you know? I do take myself super, super seriously. Very seriously, but you know, you gotta balance that out. Some people just like, if they feel like they're getting too serious, they scale it back a little, but I just added meaninglessness and playfulness and then kept all the like I don't know, literary references and intellectual BS that I can't stop writing.
Well, it certainly doesn't come across as pretentious in any way because of that juxtaposition. What's the sort of writing process? Do you do it on your own and then teach the parts to the band? Or is it like worked up in a sort of a rehearsal room?
I mean, I like write a song that I can play alone and kind of have some concept of what it's going to sound like. And then this band of geniuses, the boyfriends, you know, make it into something. And sometimes it's really not what I expected it to become. That wobbly song, yeah, it started, I wasn't sure what that was going to be. I thought it might be a little more, I don't know. It turned into a beautiful thing that was so fun to make.
And it's such a lovely concept because everybody's felt wobbly, and that's a serious thing. I mean, that's can be a difficult and painful thing to be wobbly.
To be wobbly. I mean, yeah, it's sort of a fundamental thing for me to, that my, who I am is a wobbly thing, and I do not seem to settle in one place. I find labels and categories confining and diminishing, so I'm not, I don't know, I prefer a fluidity and all, and even in, you know, I believe in fluidity, and even as a mental and a way of being in the world, you know? Just the truth is something that's always changing.
So do you not like if people call you labels that are traditional to, you know, today's sexually defined or gender defined world?
Oh, people can say what they want,
yeah.
I guess. It's none of my business. Oh, they want to categorize me. And, you know, I'm not saying that categories are fine. They're useful for people. I like to declare independence from all of them. They trip me up and freak me out a little bit if I try to apply them to myself. An idea of, what a man or a boy is supposed to be kind of, you know, threw me off for years, threw me off the trail of how to be my actual self and live my actual life, you know. Those categories just have messed with my head, and I'm sick of it.
Well, it seems like over the years, the ability to open up and be more true to yourself has made pretty fun music, so clearly it was the right thing for you to do.
Yeah. It seems like the music is kind of getting, in the last couple albums, really just become this more confident thing and this more fully realized thing as I've become a more whole person.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel as much in hiding from the world.
Right, and you know, you become as well, I mean, you probably don't think of it this way, but you become a good example to other people who are perhaps not as far down the road of that journey of self-discovery or self-acceptance. So I just think you're great, mate.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's I do feel like it's good to have people show up in public that are examples of who are people who are not performing the roles that they were expected to perform. I rely on examples I've seen in like pop culture and stuff like that. I've relied on those people a lot who are gender nonconforming or otherwise bold, you know, as examples of the fact that it's possible to be bold.
You're an example of that, man.
No, totally. Is it fun also shocking conservatives? I would imagine it's great fun.
I mean, they're...
Tell the truth.
I don't know. There's all kinds of people. Some people want to say mean things to me, and like they feel that's what they should do in response to me wearing stuff that they don't want me to wear, red dresses or...
People can be scared. You can be very scared. There are certain people who see a man in a dress and they get very scared and they lash out.
Yeah. I don't want to think about them very much. They don't deserve my energy.
No, you're right.
Ezra Furman, seriously, we're such big fans of you, man, and we really do appreciate you playing live. We've been wanting to have you in here for a while as we've been singing along to your music as a staff on our radio station. So thank you for taking time and spending so much time setting up with a saxophone and a full drum kit and everything today. You can get grab the album Perpetual Motion People anywhere. Again, catch Ezra at the Echo tonight in Los Angeles with the Boyfriends. Thank you, sir. We really do appreciate your
time. We really do. Great songs, great music. Thanks so much for your contribution.
It's our pleasure.
All right, that's it. That's all you get from Daily Scramble Live this morning. Tyler's had to nip out because he's putting an antenna up somewhere in town in an undisclosed location to try and boost our signal. Our FM signal here in Laguna Beach, California. In the meantime, of course, you can find us right here at kx935.com. kx935.com. Happy to serve you. It's KX935, it's Laguna's only FM.